If you have your Bibles and you want to turn to the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 14, we're going to look at a familiar passage, and then we'll get into the message. Numbers 14, beginning at verse 1. That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If we only had died in Egypt or in this desert, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." And then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us to that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." Ending at verse 9. Father, we just thank you for the time that we can come here into this house, house of prayer, house of worship, a house, God, of praise, where we just want to exalt you and invite you to come by your Holy Spirit. God, we are desperate for you this morning. And Father, we just invite you to come. Speak to our hearts. I ask for your anointing. I ask for that you hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's in his wonderful name that we pray and give thanks. Amen and amen. Talking to you this morning with this idea about a different attitude. Attitude is defined as a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. An attitude, a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. Did you ever have a bad attitude? Anybody ever tell you you had a bad attitude? Have you ever told anybody they had a bad attitude? But our attitude affects our perspective. Our attitude affects how we view things, situations, circumstances. Our attitude affects how you live. Our attitude affects how you treat others. Our attitude affects how you live, how you respond to others. It reflects your success or your failure. There's a gentleman by the name of John Maxwell. You may be familiar with him, you may not, but Maxwell has written several books. He is a well-known speaker. He held conferences on leaders and leadership. Being an effective leader, what does a good leader look like? But in his book, Your Attitude Determines Your Altitude. Catch the name of that book. Your Attitude Determines Your Altitude. He writes, and I quote, "Our attitude is the only thing that we get to control 100% of the time. While we don't have any control of our circumstances, we have full control of our attitude. It's a matter of choosing which attitude we carry around with us that will determine how successful we will be. Choosing the right attitude is not easy." I can say amen to that. "It's something we have to work hard at each day. In the long run, it determines our success or failure." End of that quote. Now, as we look at these verses that I read in chapter 14, this begins back in chapter 13 of Numbers, where God spoke to Moses and he said, send out men to explore the land, take note, that I am giving to them. God made that statement, the land that I am giving to them. And so they chose one man from each of the 12 tribes. They sent them out and they sent them with us these instructions. One, see what the land is like, whether the people are few or many, whether they are strong or weak. Number two, find out what kind of land do they live in. Is it good or bad? Three, what kind of towns do they live in? Are they defenseless or are they well fortified? Four, how is the soil? Fertile or not? Is it rich? Is it good for planting? That type of thing. Five, do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. So the 12 that was chosen went out. They started to explore the land. And they saw that what the land was like. And they even cut off a branch of grapes that two men carried on a pole. And then they collected some other types of fruit. And after 40 days, they returned and they gave Moses and Aaron and the people of Israel this report. Moses, I got bad news and I got some good news. And have you ever been told that? I got some good news, I got some bad news. What do you want to hear first? What is a natural, normal response? Give me the bad news first. Why is that? Why do we want to hear bad news first? But I got bad news and I got good news. The good news is, it is surely a land flowing with milk and honey. This land is everything you wanted, whatever desire. It's a lush land. It's a beautiful land. It's fertile. Look at this fruit that we brought back. But the bad news is the people are powerful. The people are powerful. The cities are well fortified and they're very large. And lastly, there are giants in the land. And we look like grasshoppers when we compare ourselves to them. And the people got uneasy. They listened, they heard both reports. What the land was good, but we got some bad news as well. They heard the bad news and they became uneasy. They began to murmur and complain. And we find that Caleb said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Now, was that faith speaking or presumption? I believe it was faith. He knew what God had said. And then the people, there was very strong opposition there, that all the Israelites grumbled and complained against Moses and Aaron, and they made all kinds of excuses and complaints as we read through here in chapter 14. Now, this is the same people that had been in bondage 400 years. I'm sure they had been praying, because that's what God told Moses. I have heard the cry of my people and I've come to deliver them. They were in bondage. They were treated very harshly. God had delivered them. He brought them out of Egypt. They had seen his mighty power in parting the Red Sea. They saw the miracles that God did through Moses. And here they begin to complain and gripe, if we'd only had died in Egypt. And then they said, well, maybe we ought to go back to Egypt. Why do you want to go back to where you were miserable? They even said, well, let's choose a leader. Let's go back. Instead of faith talking or faith speaking as Caleb, fear took over. Fear trumps faith. But faith also trumps fear. You can't live in both. We have to know what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that we live by faith, not by sight. We live by faith, not by feeling. Will we ever be tempted to fear? Yes, that's kind of natural. But we don't give fear. We don't open the door to fear, that fear controls us. What should control us is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has said, what he has promised. That's what we should allow to control us. That is where our focus should be. Joshua and Caleb said, don't be afraid of the people because the Lord will give us victory. Because he, God, is with us. God is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. There is never a place that you go. There's never a situation or a circumstance that you encounter that God is not there. We may wonder, God, where are you? He's there. He may be partially hidden by the situation. Clouded, you know, our vision may be partially clouded. We don't see him clearly, but God is there. And we have to remember that. In chapter 14 of Numbers, in verse 24, we find these words, because my servant Caleb has a different spirit. Because my servant Caleb has a different attitude. Well, what was so unique about Caleb that he was highlighted here? What was it about his attitude that God said this wonderful thing about him? It's the same as we go back into 1 Chronicles 4. We find a man by the name of Jabez that said a simple four-line prayer. Jabez is not mentioned very often in the Bible. Here is probably one of the only times. We don't know a lot about him. But it says there in 1 Chronicles 4, Jabez prayed a simple four-line prayer where he said, God bless me indeed. Expand my borders. May your hand be upon me. Protect me from evil. Very simple, very basic prayer. And the Bible says God granted him his prayer. And so we see what was unique about Caleb. What was unique about his attitude? First, Caleb believed God. God is, God was, and God is trustworthy. God is and was trustworthy. Words matter. You and I know very well how important our words are. Words can build up. Words can tear down. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death. And I heard a teacher, a preacher say one time that that simply means that the tongue has the power of life and death. And what he's saying is that I speak life because I speak the word of God. I align what I say, I align what I think, I align what I believe with the word of God. That is what I speak. That is life. Or I take up what the enemy may say, which leads to death. So what you say is important. Are you a person of your word? If you tell somebody you're going to be somewhere at a certain time, are you there? Can they count on you? If you tell someone, hey, yeah, I'm going to pray for you, do you honor what you've just said? Or do we just leave that moment, go and get caught up in doing something else, and we forget? But when you tell somebody that you're going to pray for them, we need to honor that, because that person is believing in what you just said. We need to be people of integrity, people that people can trust and believe what we say. God delights in nothing more than our choice to believe Him over what we see and feel. You know how easy it is to be tempted to fear about something. The fear of something. And when we get caught up into fear, it clouds our thinking. But I have to come back to believe what God says in His Word. And I, as Paul says, that I take captive my thoughts. I'm not going to yield to fear. I'm going to stand firm in faith and believe what God says. The Bible says that the honor of God is in His Word, is based on His Word. God does what He says. God is trustworthy because He does what He says. And that is what we need to believe. That is what we need to hold true. What we believe becomes our values. What you believe, what I believe, becomes our values. And I believe what people are believing today, you can see the values that some people have in the world today. What's happening? It's unbelievable what we're hearing, what we're seeing happen, how things are devalued. Right has become wrong. Wrong has become right. Good is bad. Bad is good. Unbelievable. But what I believe becomes my value, what I base my life on. I believe that God knows what He's doing. Do you believe that? God knows what He's doing. In Romans 4, we find the account of Abraham. And you know the promise that God made to Abraham. How is that possible? How is that possible? You could put yourself in Abraham's position. How is that possible, God? But no matter what the circumstances look like, no matter what the circumstances seem like, the natural would say that's impossible. But my Bible tells me that nothing is impossible with God. Do we believe that? Nothing is impossible with God. And you might be in a situation or a circumstance or a problem, and you think, I don't know how this is going to come out. But God, I know that You're in it with me, and all things are possible through You. All things are possible. Secondly, Caleb believed God. Caleb wholeheartedly followed God. The Message Bible says that he follows me passionately. He has strong feelings for. That God has become everything to me. That God means more to me than any earthly possession. There's a song that says, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world can offer. Is that how precious He is to you? You'd rather have Jesus than anything? We just sang a song a while ago, Jesus Paid It All. That's one of the songs, as I thought about this, that's one of the songs that came to my mind. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Because I was bound for hell, except Jesus stepped in and paid the price that I could not pay. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing grace, amazing love. The song says, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven. My heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Does Jesus mean more to you than anything? Can you say amen to that song? The longer you serve him, the sweeter he grows for you and in you. It's amazing. Jesus says in John 10, he says, my sheep follow me because they know my voice. My sheep know me because they know my voice. How long do we wait in prayer before God to hear him speak? There are times, and to be honest with you, there are times that I go, I read the word, I pray, and I never give him time to say, hey, I got something to say. Anybody else here like that? But I have to give him time. I have to be still, put my hearing ears on, my listening ears on, and say, God, what do you want to say to me? I am not leaving until I hear your voice. God, what do you want to say to me? And it may be something I want to hear. It may be something I don't want to hear. You know, sometimes God says those things to you. Joe, you got to get your act together. Joe, maybe you got to change your attitude. Joe, I'm using myself because I know. So we have these. We know his voice. We follow him because we know his voice. And how can I fully and passionately follow the Lord? Because I trust him. Because he is trustworthy. And I can trust him because I know him. He has proved himself faithful and trustworthy, even though he doesn't lead on the easiest path. It's amazing when you look at this. You know, it took Israel 40 years to get where they were going when it was only an 11-day journey. Isn't that amazing? 40 years for an 11-day journey. You know, you accept Christ, and to hear what's being taught or spoke sometimes, you accept Christ, and your life will be so easy. Well, I am not there yet. And probably all of you are in, same with me. You accepted Christ, and your life has not been easy. Amen? Because you have an enemy, an adversary that is out to destroy you, to destroy your faith in Christ, to destroy and disrupt your walk with Christ, to rob that victory, to rob that joy from you that Christ has so lovingly supplied and given to you, given to me. He doesn't always take you the easiest path. It might be a little rough going, but we have to hang on and trust him. We have to be unshakable and unmovable in our faith and our trust in God. Be unshakable. Thirdly, Caleb depended on God. Caleb depended on God. One of the things that I read and have read several times in here, God told Israel one thing, well, several things, multiple things, but he said, you did not bring yourself out of Egypt by your own strong, mighty arm. It wasn't by your power that you came out of Egypt. I thought, well, yeah, if they could have done it themselves, they'd have been out there a long time ago. But it wasn't your power, your might, that brought you out of Egypt. It was by my strong, mighty arm that you came out of Egypt, that you were rescued from bondage, that you were rescued and moved into freedom, glorious freedom. It wasn't you. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things. There's no period there. It says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. I can do all things, whatever God calls me to do, whatever God asked you to do, and you think, God? There's no way I can do that. He knows that. But we can do it through the strength that He gives us, through His anointing that He gives us. What God puts in you to do, He will give you the anointing, the power, the ability to do it. And that's why your gifting is that you can do it easily because God's anointing is on it. His blessing is on you for you to function in that work, in that ministry, whatever it may be. There's one thing I will never try to do, sing a solo in public. I am not called to do that, praise the Lord. And you ought to say the same thing, praise the Lord. I'm not called to sing. I sing around the house, but that's only, that's only for Martha. But I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. If you've ever been to Roxbury Camp, up on the platform, what's the verse that's up there? Zechariah 4:6. It is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It's not by your effort. It's not by your strength. It's not by your ability that you do things, or you accomplish things. It's by my spirit, His power, His authority, His anointing, that we can accomplish anything for God. In Joshua 15:14, the Bible says that Caleb drove out the giants from the land of his inheritance. Caleb was promised a land, but he had to deal with some things before he went in and took it. We find in 1 Samuel 17, David had to confront a giant. His name was Goliath. And for 40 days, Goliath stood and declared against the God of Israel, spoke defiance against the God of Israel. And the whole nation of Israel was being held in bondage by fear. David showed up. David tried on Saul's armor. That didn't fit. But he took what he had, his sling and some stones, and destroyed the giant. So what about us today? What are things? What are things that you're dealing with? What are things that I'm dealing with? Is there some giants in your life that you just can't get victory over? Is there some giants in your life that you can't seem to conquer? And they keep shouting, defiance, where is your God? Is there anything in your life today? What's our attitude about things? Does it need change today? Do we believe God? Do we follow God? Do we depend on God? I say yes, yes, and yes. I believe Him. I depend on Him. I follow Him. And do I always get it right? No. But I thank God for His mercies that are fresh anew each morning. God knows us. He knows we're in this human body. He knows that we deal with stuff. That's why we have to depend on Him. That's why you need to depend on Him. That's why I need to depend on Him today. And how can I do that? Because I know that God is trustworthy. So if there is a giant in your life today, that thing that you just can't have victory over, that thing that you cannot just have peace about, there is someone that can give you victory here today. There is someone that can give you peace today. His name is Jesus. If you just come and ask him, he will do that today. If you come struggling today, there's a place to find perfect rest and perfect peace. There's a place to find freedom. There's a place to find liberty. And that's at the foot of the cross, at the feet of Jesus. Believe him, depend on him, follow him. If you'll do that today, he will meet you. Father, we thank you today for your goodness, for your blessing, for your presence in this place. And we thank you, Lord, this morning that you are a God of mercy. You are a God of grace. You are a God of forgiveness. You are a God of power. You are a God that provides. You are a God that heals. And Father, what a privilege it is to know you. What a privilege it is to depend on you. What a privilege it is to follow you. What a privilege it is to depend on you. And Lord, today, if someone here needs to change their attitude, God, today would be that day. And we'll give you all the praise and the honor and glory for what you're going to do. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.